Hey guys, welcome to another episode of the BFG podcast. I am here alone again. Mike decided, you know, he wasn't going to show up for, what, the second or third time? And...
What's up? Cereal?
How many boxes of those have you eaten?
Well, it got me because it's the magical unicorn. You want some?
Do we have any cereal left?
Don't open your pantry. Where do you think I've been this whole time? I've been hungry.
Today we're going to talk about Avengers Endgame.
We are?
I would assume. Do you have something else?
I have cereal and magical unicorn marshmallows without any milk.
No.
No.
I'd rather talk about Endgame.
Let's talk about Endgame, Tony.
Alright. So. First things first.
First things first, yeah. We're back.
We are back.
1 year. I think we've been doing the show now.
Oh, it has been a year, hasn't it?
It has been a year. Our first review was Infinity War.
Yeah.
So, we missed some weeks, of course, because of commitments. But
we missed a lot of weeks.
We missed a lot of weeks. But we're back. We should be getting back on our normal schedule-ish.
You've missed more weeks than I have.
Shut up. Yeah, we are back. You know, fortunately for me, I had some work commitments and other things going on. And Tyler, of course, you're working on some things I don't want to spoil because I know you want to talk about your own life. But yeah, so really just it's been a little crazy first half of the year over here for us. But we're trying to get back into a normal setting, normal schedule. So we had to make sure that we were here for this one because if it's not been a full calendar year yet, it's been a year since we decided to start this because our first review was Infinity War last year. So, of course, we had to follow up with Endgame.
Mm-hmm.
But just honestly with me real quick, you know, it's been crazy working. You know, I had a show a couple weeks ago at the Morocco Shrine Theater over Easter weekend. Mm-hmm. Did really well. Can't complain for an Easter weekend type show. But I'm just trying to get back to it over the summer. We got a lot of good movies to see, a lot of good video games to play and be excited for. We got our E3 show that'll be next month.
Yep.
But I don't want to even talk too much about me just because, honestly, it's been kind of boring. I've just been working on our show stuff and getting ready for other conventions that I'll be going to. But, Tyler, you have more interesting stories than I do.
Nope.
Okay, then. So we're excited to celebrate our 1 year. We're excited to do this review. Of course, spoiler-free. Spoiler-free for everybody. And
I do.
Get back to it.
I've got a lot of kind of exciting things in the pipeline, but nothing I really want to talk too much about until it's in effect, you know?
You do the same thing I do, you know? I don't want to talk about it and then have it not go through and then have to backtrack and be like, well, this didn't happen because.
Yeah.
You know, you gotta wait for some more pieces. I'm the same way. I've got a lot of exciting things going on, and I will be talking about them fairly soon, I hope, over the next few weeks, because...
Suffice it to say, things are kind of weird in my life, but good. Like, it's exciting, but it's just a lot going on.
You are adulting very much recently.
I know, it's not good.
It's not good, no.
It's good, the changes we're making, but it's also, it's weird being responsible and grown up.
And then you got me, who in 2 weeks I'll be at MegaCon for 1 day. One day only, because there's three or four autographs I need to go and get for my illustrious collection, which I'll talk about when we're back. I might even bring them and show them off. What do you think about that?
Sure.
All right.
I will say one thing, just a real quick predecessor before we dig in. If you are listening to this, that opening joke made no sense.
Nope.
Mike came in holding Lucky Charms.
With marshmallow unicorns.
And he's holding them up again. And if you're listening, you still don't know that.
Nope.
So I figured I should give you a little heads up, because for the first part of this, if you're just listening to the audio, it's going to sound real stupid.
But it's okay, because I got Lucky Charms with marshmallow unicorns. It was only
Then again, if you're watching the YouTube version, it also probably sounded real stupid.
And also doesn't make sense either.
But... we did it, and now we can move on.
General Mills, we're always looking for sponsors, just saying, because, you know, Lucky Charms with, it's not unicorn marshmallows, Tyler, it's magical unicorn marshmallows.
Do they taste like unicorns?
I have no idea.
We are way too distracted.
We should talk about Endgame.
So, Mike.
Yes?
What did you think of Age of Ultron?
So Age of Ultron, I thought was a very good movie. It introduced Vision for the first time.
I did not think Age of Ultron was that great of a movie.
Well, it's a good thing we're not going to talk about Age of Ultron then.
Okay, so Mike.
Yes.
Give me two words to describe Endgame.
You said I couldn't use spoilers.
Yep.
I love those memes going around. It's those pictures of like Endgame spoilers with no context.
Yeah.
It's like these four individual pictures. I absolutely love those.
I'm not sure if I approve of them, but some of them are kind of funny.
No, absolutely. Two words to describe Endgame. Well, I got four words. That's not a spoiler.
Okay.
I love you, 3000.
Okay.
That's not a spoiler, I don't think. I wouldn't imagine.
Depends.
It's not a spoiler.
My first two words would be pretty great.
Pretty great. You know, I think that what they were building, especially in 2008 when Iron Man first came out.
Yeah.
You took an actor, Robert Downey Jr., who was going through some shit. Who was...
Ooh, you said a word.
I did. I'm sorry. You're going to have to bleep that.
Probably.
All right. I'm going to watch it. You can tell I'm a bit rusty. Who is going through some stuff. And really helped transform a franchise. Because you got to remember, too, you know, obviously not to get political. In 2008, it's kind of when the crash happened. People didn't have a lot of money to spend.
Mm-hmm.
You know, every company was feeling it. And even Disney was feeling it.
Yeah.
Allegedly.
Yeah.
To go from Iron Man, which honestly, at the time, Tyler, was more of a B character, a B plus Marvel character. You know, if you think about it behind, like, Hulk was always an original, Captain America. You take that as your first one.
Mm-hmm.
And then go, you know, 11 years later, 22 movies counting Endgame. Mm-hmm. And this is what you built up to. And yes, there were some missteps, like Iron Man 2, 3, and Thor Dark World.
Yeah.
You know, name a couple. I thought it was a very good end to mm-hmm. the story. I thought it left open a nice couple things to go to the next phase, phase 4.
Yeah.
But just in general, I absolutely enjoyed it from start to finish. The 3 hours just flew right on by.
It was... a lot funnier than I thought it would be. I went into this, like, I know they always have their humor, mm-hmm. but I went into it thinking this was going to be much more, this was going to be like the dramatic, emotional, mm-hmm. heartfelt one, you know? This was going to be like a big, like, tearjerker. And it had its moments, but for the most part, it was funnier than
yeah.
I thought it would be.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And honestly, I think for me, I didn't really know what to expect with Marvel. Especially after the first, I'm not going to spoil it, for the first couple minutes, I kind of went into it thinking I knew how it was going to start, especially with the end credits scene to Ant-Man and the Wasp, which I don't think is a spoiler. I don't know. Yeah, was it the end to that one and the end to Captain Marvel, the end credits scene for that,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then just after the first 15, 20 minutes of the movie, all that gets thrown out with the curves they're throwing at you.
Yeah.
You know, which is great because I wanted the twists and turns. I wanted to see what was there. And of course, you know, you had to take some of the characters that you do have to have the serious moments and, you know, you throw in Paul Rudd, Ant-Man, when he shows up.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when they kind of throw in the humor into it. But I thought it was handled very well. I thought the scenes that were meant to be a little lighthearted in this type of movie were very lighthearted. And then the scenes that were meant to be, you know, the big emotional, big
yeah.
serious moments were handled very well as well.
Yeah. And a couple things that I've noticed just personally and from talking to friends
yes.
is that I'm kind of losing a little bit of perspective, I think, as I get older because I was talking to a couple of buddies, I mean, you know, Logan and Garrett.
Yes.
And they were talking about how, like, they had grown up with these characters.
Absolutely.
Like, you know, this Iron Man was, like, their hero from when they were, like, I think they said, like, 8 or 9 years old. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, you know, for me, that was, like, a high school movie.
Yeah.
You know, I saw that, I think, like, junior year in theaters or something like that. And for you, it would have been what? Like, senior year? First year of college, something like that?
I honestly, if I remember correctly, I think it was right as I graduated high school.
Yeah.
Because it came out in 2008, summer 2008, so I would have just been out of high school. So, you know, right around the first year of college for me. And at the time, Tyler, you know, I've always been into the geeky kind of stuff, of course, much like you. But I never really sat down to focus on comics. Like, you know, yeah, I knew Spider-Man. Mm-hmm. You know, I've watched all the Tobey Maguire movies. Those wonderful, wonderful movies.
Yeah.
But in terms of knowing all these other characters, like, I knew of Iron Man. I knew of Thor.
Right.
I knew of Captain America. You know, I was like, all right, yeah, I'll sit down and watch this. And then just... I think it's one of those things now that I couldn't watch it again as a reboot with somebody different because, you know, like Robert Downey Jr. is Iron Man. Mm-hmm. And just to kind of go along with it a little bit, kind of a minor detour, I saw something online the other day. It was like one of those like for this, heart for this. And it was like for Tobey Maguire's Spider-Man, heart for Tom Holland's Spider-Man. Mm-hmm. And the caption, one of the main captions that was there was, this one is tough because people like you and me, Tyler, we grew up with Tobey Maguire being our Spider-Man when we were, you know, 10, 11, 12 years old. Mm-hmm. Whereas Stan Lee himself said, you know, Tom Holland embodies Peter Parker as a whole.
Dude, he's the best.
He really is. And I think for me...
I'm not even going to try to fight that battle. No, Tom Holland is so much better than Tobey Maguire.
He is, but it's like, I still have that attachment to the Tobey Maguire movies because that's what I grew up with.
Right.
Now, and that's also not saying, you know, nothing against Andrew Garfield's Spider-Man. You know, they were okay movies. They weren't great, but you know.
I liked Andrew Garfield better than Tobey Maguire.
Here's the thing with that, though, because we're already getting off track, just like we always do. I enjoyed Tobey Maguire's Peter Parker more.
Okay.
But I enjoyed Andrew Garfield's Spider-Man more. Mm-hmm. But then you got Tom Holland, which just nailed it out of the park.
Yeah.
110%.
Yeah.
So, going along with that, you know, thinking back to 2008... Yes, you know, Iron Man was kind of that, you're fresh out of high school for me, junior year for you, movie that you're like, okay, yeah, this is cool. And then more came out and more came out and more came out. And
yeah.
It just blew up from there.
But it's like, like I was saying, I think for me, the perspective's kind of weird because, you know, I think of it like, it's really cool that I've been, you know, I was old enough to go to these movies and appreciate these movies. From more or less kind of an adult perspective, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
But it's like, I kind of miss out on a little bit of that, like, just childhood wonder of, like, you know, you discover these new heroes or maybe, you know, see these heroes that you read in comic books for the first time on the big screen. And, you know, there's just kind of that, like, magic there, you know, that I think maybe I missed out on a little bit because of how old we are when they started coming out. So, you know, it's like for them, it was like Iron Man was like their part of their childhood.
Yes.
They grew up, you know, with Iron Man. And then as they, you know, as the ensemble grew, they grew up with Thor and Hulk and all them. And it became, you know, now 22 movies in, there's dozens of them. And it's cool. But I kind of wish that I had that, you know, like, almost like that mysticism around it, you know? Like, wow!
I agree with you there, but I'm also going to disagree with you at the same time. Because I think for me, it's, yeah, you're not that 8-year-old kid mm-hmm. seeing it for the first time. You know, I was 18, you were 16, 17. For me, it's also, I did not grow up with these characters, but I kind of grew with the MCU in general. Mm-hmm. Not the comics. The comics have been around longer than both of us combined.
Yeah.
But, I mean, going in, and then I remember listening to podcasts with people who grew up in the 80s who've read all the comics, and I remember saying, yeah, Iron Man, okay. Thor, yeah, that should get a movie. Captain America. And then when they started getting further along, and they're like, why is Ant-Man getting a movie? No one wants it. Guardians of the Galaxy, because I mentioned it to you before, too, Tyler, for people who may not know, the Guardians of the Galaxy that we have as a movie isn't even the main Guardians of the Galaxy wouldn't think Guardians of the Galaxy.
Right.
And Guardians is like a C-lister already as it is. Mm-hmm. Going down into that, it's like a D-lister, I guess. I mean, it's amazing what they were able to do, and it all translated well into Endgame, I think, as a whole. So, yeah, we may not have been kids seeing it for the first time, but going in with the minds that we have, we were also able to see it for the first time, enjoy it a little differently, and go from there. I can say that I grew up in my later teen years, early adulthood years, with the MCU.
I think what I pick movies apart a little bit, you know?
Yes, which you
and
should.
And so, I think there was a time where, just like anything and everything, I'd be like, wow, I like that movie, I like this movie, I like all of the movies, you know? Mm. Even if it was a bad movie, I could be like, well, I really enjoyed it because I liked this character or this thing. And I feel like, as I've gotten older, it's a little bit more like critiquing the different parts of movies, and I think part of that's just me loving movies so much, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, as I watch more movies, I'm like, well, this movie executed that better, or this director, you know, the cinematography, or the music, or whatever. And so I keep coming at it from, like, different perspectives than I would have when I was younger. But, like, watching Endgame, I felt like, just on top of it, bringing this huge ensemble of heroes together, it also did really well about, like, representing them all. Mm-hmm. And making each one feel like special and a part of like they needed to be there. They weren't just there to be there. And the way it was shot was just so exquisite, for lack of a better term. It was, I like that there were these moments that were supposed to be goofy, and they were. And it's like you were saying, you know, there were moments that were supposed to be serious, and they were.
Yeah.
But even just the way that they were executed, like there were times where I feel like some movies would have, you know, gone a little bit more sappy with a certain moment, or played a big swell of, like, music or something like that. And I liked how minimal they kept certain scenes. I liked that there were some scenes that I felt like other people would have played, like, really big for some sort of, like, you know, trying to go emotional, that worked better for me having almost nothing there. Like, scaling it back and making it just, you know, you connecting with the characters without fancy lighting or shots or music, you know, it kind of made it more impactful for me rather than less impactful. And, you know, as always, the orchestra is top-notch.
Oh,
like,
absolutely.
The music is always great. But there are moments where I feel like pulling back from the music made this even better for me.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think one thing for me is, in any movie that I've seen, no matter what it is, there's always a part where I'm just like, okay, come on, let's end this scene, go to the next one, let's end this character dialogue, go to the next thing. But I mean it when I said all 3 hours just kind of flew right on by. Like,
yeah.
You blink and it's over, because it kept me going. Can be focused throughout the entire thing, and you know, I pertain that to the writing, to the actors and actresses portraying these characters, and just going from there. And you know, I know you like to pick apart the movies, and which is great, but I think to end the first phase of this, and to have the knowledge that I do now of these comic book characters, some of them that shouldn't even have been movies, some of them had been, you know, favors pulled, especially with Sony and Disney, to get Spider-Man into the MCU.
Yeah.
You know, it was just amazing that they were able to pull this off, to stay focused. You know, because there's so many movies out there that will end on a cliffhanger or end with an end credit scene, cough, Power Rangers cough, that they're like, yeah, we want to do another movie, and they don't. Or, you know, people want a sequel to a movie, and they finally get one, you know, years later, and it ends up sucking.
Yeah.
We got 22 movies over 11 years, and yes, like I said, there were some duds. I'm not going to lie, there were some duds, you know. And there's others that we've talked about that maybe you liked and I didn't, or vice versa. You know, like, we kind of disagree on Captain Marvel a little bit. But in general, to put out that many movies to build up that story is just amazing to me.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I mean, Disney's got, you know, they've got all the momentum in the world now. But now that they're done with the Infinity Saga, as they're going to call it, and we start Phase 4... are they going to keep trying to do another batch of 11 years and another 22 movies to do the next thing? And yes, they can now because they've got Fox in the fold. So now they've got, you know...
a whole new arsenal.
They got the Fantastic Four, which is essentially what saved Marvel once upon a time. They have the X-Men now. They've got Deadpool now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, all the other, like, C-listers that I can't even think of. Because they've already done well, you know, with Ant-Man and Guardians of the Galaxy.
Mm-hmm.
And I, for one, am just really excited to see what they do, how they decide to do it. Will they do the next arc, another 22? Will they just do 10? You know, I don't know if people will experience burnout with this like it's done with Star Wars.
But, and that's what I'm wondering about. Because, like... we've loved these movies for so long, and now that it's kind of reached a natural conclusion, basically, we're setting up for a sequel now.
Yes.
You know, coming into the next phase. And it's like, is it going to be as dynamic? Are people going to be as engaged in it as they were the first time? Because, you know, this one kind of snuck up on them.
Yeah.
The cinematic universe wasn't, you know, they dropped Iron Man saying, this is going to be a 22-movie saga that you're going to be wrapped up in for the next 11 years. Mm. They said, you know, here's Iron Man. And then when that did really well, they're like, okay, well, here's your next movie, but it's also connected to the previous movie, and so on and so forth, you know. And then they slowly kind of revealed their plans over time, and people just kept getting more and more invested. And now that they've kind of reached that conclusion, you know, the climax has happened, and they're coming down off of it, they're riding that wave out. If they start another wave, is that going to be just as engaging, or are people going to be like, you know, whoa, we can't get into something this big again just yet, like, give us some time, you know, which they're giving us a, you know, some time, but I'm wondering if people are going to be like, we need to breathe first, you know. I mean, I hope not. I hope that they do a bunch more, and I hope they do great, because they're awesome, but you know, I'm curious if the next batch of movies is going to hold up the way these have.
And, you know, I agree with you on that one for sure, but this is what I think. Because we've got Spider-Man Far From Home.
Mm-hmm.
And after that, we've got no idea. Yes, there's a bunch in the pipeline. Like, I just saw the other day that Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3 is going to begin shooting at the beginning of 2020.
Yeah.
And then there's always, like, the Black Widow movie. There's
Black Panther.
Black Panther 2, of course, are going to do that. Mm-hmm. And then a whole bunch. And again, you know, you've got all the Fox movies now that you can throw in there. The one thing that I think they have going for them, and this is not a shot on any Star Wars fans, of course, is that, yes, this is a superhero movie, but it's not watching the same group of characters, movie after movie after movie. You know, you're going to get, you know, Guardians, and then you'll get Spider-Man, and then you'll get, you know, Deadpool. So at least you're getting... okay, this is a new set of characters. And then once in a while, you may get a mashup like Thor Ragnarok was.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to spoil what should be a mashup for a movie coming later that was shown at the end of Endgame. That I kind of expected, but it's kind of cool to see now.
Yeah.
I think they have that going for them. How soon will that be? Who knows? You know, Marvel could... I think for next year, they only had two movies planned instead of three. One at the beginning of the year, and then one at the end of the year. You know, because we're going to get Spider-Man next month, or is it July? June or July?
I think it's the end of June.
Okay. So we have that, and then that's it.
Yeah.
And we've got no idea. Supposedly, they were going to announce more at the D23 Expo. They could announce something at San Diego Comic-Con. They could announce something at New York Comic-Con. Who knows when we're going to find out even a morsel. But I think that'll give people enough time to breathe a little bit. And even if next year they only do one movie and they put it at the end of next year, that gives people over a year just to kind of take a deep breath and relax.
Yeah.
you know, and then start the next phase, because we don't even know what it could be.
Yeah.
You know, obviously when Disney was always in talks to buy Fox, you have to know somewhere, buried deep in a desk, locked up, there was a beginning of a script for something for X-Men, something for Fantastic Four. they didn't buy Fox on Monday and then on Tuesday start writing the script. You knew there had to be something somewhere that was started.
You sure that's not just wishful thinking?
I am hoping not. There's a lot of other wishful thinking I do, but not for this one. but I'm really thinking that they could do something special with this. And Endgame, I thought, really ended very well. You know, it could very well introduce a new batch of characters. It could introduce the next leadership, if you will. And it's going to keep going. I mean, these comics have been around for so long. And after, you know, the 80s, late 80s, early 90s, when Marvel almost went completely.
Yeah.
And honestly, at the time, thank you to Fox for you know, buying so much from them. And Sony buying so much to kind of keep them afloat. And then Disney just said, you know, that's why also, I don't know if you know this, is why Disney got rid of Power Rangers at the time, is because they had their big draw for boys with Marvel, and that's why, you know, they sold it back to Saban.
Yeah.
But they can still keep going. And I think, you know, we're in for a long haul.
Mm-hmm.
How long is it going to be until people are, you know, tired of it? Kind of like people are tired of The Walking Dead. Although it is doing a lot better. This past season was actually really good. Not as good as the first seasons, but it was really good. And I think, you know, they've got a lot of good going ahead.
Mm-hmm.
And as long as, you know, the people that are directing these movies now are teaching the younger generation to kind of step up and make the next ones.
Yeah.
You know, we don't have to worry about reboots. We can just watch a consistent story.
Yeah.
You know, all tied together. And then as, you know, characters leave because of deaths in the movie, of course, or whatever, they can make sure that there's another batch ready to go.
Yeah.
You know, and those are my thoughts. You know, I know I've been kind of rambling on about it. I think I've talked more about this one than any other thing.
Mm-hmm.
I really enjoyed this movie. I really did.
Well,
so,
and real quick.
Yes.
You were talking about The Walking Dead, and I'm going to go off on a little bit of a tangent.
Sure,
but I promise you that it does connect.
All right, let's hear it.
So, the most recent episode of Game of Thrones.
Mm-hmm.
You don't watch Game of Thrones, do you?
I'll tell you about that story in a minute. Okay. I don't watch it yet, but I'm
so, watching. The newest episode of Game of Thrones is the big battle.
Mm-hmm.
It's the final boss, as you would say. And it's almost 90 minutes. It's a movie-length episode of a TV show. And almost exclusively, the entire hour and a half is the battle.
Mm-hmm.
And it just keeps on going. And I mean, you know, this is on a grand scale. This is like Lord of the Rings level fighting for a little bit. And it just does not stop. And the reason I bring it up is because in Game of Thrones, the shot was very dark. And I'm sure, I know there's articles out about this already, so you might have already heard this, or read it somewhere. But the problem that I had, or one of the problems I had with the most recent episode, is that it was a very long battle with nothing to break it up. And it was shot to be natural instead of, like, you know, using stage lighting and stuff like that. So the entire episode was very dark. It was like not dark like, you know, a dark movie scene. Like, it was dark, like hard to see, to the point that people have gone on YouTube and they started brightening up the episode, taking key scenes and brightening them up so you can actually see what's going on in there.
I've saw a lot of people talking about that.
And it just keeps on going. And in that episode, I started suffering from some fatigue. It just kind of started wearing off after a while. I'm like, I need some exposition. I need something to happen. I need something different because this is just going and going and going. And it just, on top of it being hard to see, there was not enough to break it up to make it feel like, you know, anything was progressing.
Right.
And the reason I bring it up is because Endgame was the exact opposite of that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Even though there is a massive climactic battle that takes up probably, what, the last at least quarter of the movie.
Yes.
It never feels like it's going on and on. It always, there's always something to break it up. There's always something to progress the battle. There's always something going on that makes you feel like there is an end to this in sight, you know? And there are, like, twists and turns within the battle. They know when to pull back and when to, you know, have a character do something. I'm trying so hard to not, like, say names or say what's happening. But, you know, there's always some sort of progression. Mm-hmm. And there's always, they know how to break it up to, like, have characters talk or when to make a joke to, you know, release that tension. You know, it's essentially, like I was saying before, you're kind of like riding this wave, and eventually that wave has to crash. Because if you're watching this wave go for like an hour and a half, eventually it's just like, no, just, you know, let it, you know.
Do something.
Exactly. And so I feel like where Game of Thrones didn't really have that like great resolution. It felt like just, okay, this keeps on going. I felt like Endgame was so good. The Russo brothers are just so good at taking, whether it be epic battles or long exposition or whatever the case may be, and breaking it up with some sort of twist or some sort of comic moment or something like that. Or even, you know, just something new. To help make it feel like it's moving on and things are happening. And it's not just, you know, just a battle or just a roundtable meeting or whatever the case may be. And so I wanted to take a moment to just because they came out so close to each other, you know, we saw both of these, the Game of Thrones episode and Endgame, within the space of, what, like a couple of days of each other.
Yeah.
Oh
yeah.
And so that it stuck out in my mind so, it was like, it was a sore thumb. Because watching Endgame and then going straight into Game of Thrones was just like, why is this so bad? and it struck me that it's like, I don't think I would even think it was so bad, except I just got spoiled so much with Endgame. Mm-hmm. And coming off of Endgame, it made it like worse for me to watch Game of Thrones at that point. Which normally Game of Thrones is great, but this last episode, I mean, that's, you know, that's a topic for another episode if I want to do that on my own or something. But
yes, I have no idea, and I don't want to get spoiled.
But it's I wanted to bring it up because that, like I said, that felt important to me.
You know, I've seen a lot of people actually compare the two and talk about the two, and I think for me is, you know, it's like you said, the Russo brothers was also. You know, they built up to this for 11 years, this big battle. They built up to it throughout the movie, mm-hmm. this big battle. But you also got to see all the different characters use their abilities, I guess you could say. And then at the end, you got to see what the end result was. And yeah, you know, Game of Thrones, today's episode, I guess, could have some resolution. I mean, I don't know what happened in the episode. I don't know if the battle's still going on. I don't know if it ended. I don't know what happened what in these games. And I don't want you to say anything, so I don't want to be spoiled. So I don't know if, like, episode three,
last Sunday,
was all a battle, and then episode four is going to be kind of the aftermath or more of the battle. I don't know. You know, but at least for this movie, is that it ended what it needed to end.
Maybe I can do that as like a standalone thing.
Go for it.
I'll probably wait till the end though. After episode six, maybe I can do kind of a wrap up where I just talk about the show in general or something. Mm-hmm. Being how close we are, no reason to start making Game of Thrones videos now just for it to end in 3 weeks. So
absolutely. So I think that was kind of the difference there. And just whatever happens next. I think I've said everything I needed to say. And I'm excited for the next phase, for phase four. Of course, you know, I can't jump over home, but...
So we've been bouncing all around this movie.
Yes.
We keep trying to find ways to talk about it without actually talking about it. Because anything you can say about this movie could probably be considered a spoiler.
Exactly.
Somebody's going to be mad no matter what you say.
Yeah.
And so we keep talking about like very vague things, trying to say how we felt without actually like directly referencing the movie. But it's just, it's such a great culmination of everything that's been going on. I had no idea how they were going to wrap it up in a way that would make everybody happy. I was thinking, you know, inevitably after all this build up, at the end of this movie, It's going to come out, and some people are just going to be mad. Mm-hmm. People are going to hate this movie, because no matter how it turns out, it's not going to be that climax and that resolution that everybody wanted. And I can't speak for everyone, but it seems like by far, this has been the resolution that everybody needed and everybody wanted. It's been...
Especially for the twists and turns it threw in there.
Yeah, it's so good at balancing humor and tension and fear and sadness. Like, it takes the gamut of emotions and just packages them all in really well. And it reaches a climax that I feel like is well-earned and well-executed. And it doesn't... It never... Even for a three-hour movie, it never feels like it overstays that welcome. It feels like it moves at a really fast pace. It doesn't even feel like a three-hour movie. And it's just everything about it is executed so well. And considering the lofty expectations that this movie had to have on its shoulders, I don't think I really could have asked for a whole lot more.
No, not at all. Not at all. Especially for what it was trying to balance, what it was trying to do, like you said, and the characters that we had to give them all the time that they deserved. Especially, I can't say because it would be a spoiler, but, you know... This one's definitely not a spoiler, but, you know, in the first movie, Endgame, Infinity War, you were essentially left with the original group of Avengers, and then plus a few more.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that they did that for a reason, obviously, and they wrapped it up beautifully.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, real quick, too, there's no mid or end credit scene. There is an Easter egg at the very end, but there's no credit scenes.
Yeah.
I just think they did it perfectly. You know, I really do. And I think, you know, I'm just going to go ahead and say, I'm going to give this movie a 10. I'm going to give it a 10. You know, I think I got the closure that I needed for this. Of course, you know, Far From Home could open up some new things, I guess you could say. And yeah, I'm going to go ahead and give it a 10. I think they wrapped it beautifully. I think they've wrapped it beautifully. Just kind of like how they finished up. Yeah, I'm gonna go back to 1998 on this one. When Power Rangers was wrapping up, at least the Zordon era, when they were doing before they did a new team every season.
Mm-hmm.
The way that they wrapped that, even as a kid, even in now, for a children's television show like that, and especially for the last season that Power Rangers in Space was a little bit darker. I thought they wrapped that beautifully, and I thought they wrapped this beautifully. So I can say it as a kid and as an adult.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, I think I was going to be a little bit more conservative. I feel like I thoroughly enjoyed it. I think it was executed really well. But again, just kind of keeping in mind the movies, or maybe just movie. Have I given anything besides Into the Spider-Verse a 10?
I don't think so.
I think just kind of keeping in mind my own rating system and how I've been critiquing movies... This one would probably land about an 8.5.
Okay.
I'm struggling between an 8.5 and a 9, but I'd say probably an 8.5.
That's fine.
A little bit higher, purely from an enjoyment perspective. I think it was executed really well, but yeah, I think an 8.5.
I think if I may take a shot, Tyler, I think the reason why you're giving it just that is for what we talked about earlier, in the sense that you didn't grow up with it as a child, as that 8-year-old. You grew up with it as, you know, 16, 17, and then on. Mm-hmm. Whereas with me, I'm just looking at it as, yeah, I might have been an adult, 18, 19 years old, when I first started watching this, but I was still in the journey from beginning to end.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I'm giving it a 10.
Yeah.
So, real quick before we end this, I'm going to ask you a hard question now. This is not a spoiler, of course.
Okay.
Favorite, and it could be any one of them, MCU film, now that this phase of it's pretty much over with.
I mean, you know that I'm partial to, like, comedies and goofy movies.
Of course.
It's probably a toss-up between either the first Guardians of the Galaxy or Ragnarok. Probably Ragnarok.
Ragnarok?
I think Ragnarok kind of blew it out of the park for me. Which, did we... We didn't review that one, did we?
I don't know, did we? No, because we saw it at different times, I think. That was before the podcast.
Was it?
Yeah.
Did Ragnarok came before Infinity War?
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, I'm just mixed up in my head then.
Yeah, it was more Ragnarok, recent. Black Panther, Infinity War.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, no, I'm going to kind of go with you on that one, and actually mine are probably the Guardians movies, 1 and 2. I enjoy any of them, but I just think that the cast that they got there and they made it work, you know, you took Chris Pratt, who was known for, I haven't seen the show, Parks and Recreation.
Yeah.
Did Andy Dwyer, I think, is mm-hmm. one of the memes I've seen there. And then you put him in Jurassic World, and that blows it away. And then I remember watching all the memes, because Jurassic World came out before the first Guardians. And I remember seeing all the memes like, or no, I'm sorry. No, that's right, I was wrong.
I'm sitting here thinking about it, and I'm like, I know I was off about Ragnarok. That one made sense in my head. I started thinking about it, I'm like, okay, I think you're right. I think Ragnarok was earlier. But then I'm like, there's no way.
No, you're right. I had it mixed up because I remember all the memes like before Jurassic World came out, Guardians 1 was out, and then everyone was like, why is Star-Lord riding a motorcycle with a bunch of velociraptors?
Yeah.
And but you take that, and then, of course, me being the WWE fan that I am, you take Dave Bautista, who never really acted before, and you put him as Drax, and he just nailed it as mm-hmm. Drax. Zoe Saldana as Gamora, Karen Gillan as Nebula. You know, and Vin Diesel as Gru and Bradley Cooper as Rocket, you know, and taking that C-minus level characters and making a movie that good.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, Yondu's still my favorite. I'm drawing a blank. Let me look this up. Talk while I look this up real quick, please.
But no, I think it's... there have been a lot of movies that have done really well. You know, aside from... I wouldn't even say, like, bad movies. I would just say, comparatively...
Michael Rooker, Yondu. Sorry, I can't believe I forgot.
But, you know, it's like, as well as a lot of their movies have done, it kind of sticks out worse whenever you have a Dark World or something like that happen.
Yeah.
But,
I mean, you can't expect 22 movies to all blast you away.
Yeah. I think there are some really, really excellent films in there. Like Captain America and Winter Soldier. The Captain America saga in general.
Yeah.
Like his kind of like specified movies have been like really, really well done. Which makes sense because, I mean, you know, those were the Russo brothers as well. That's kind of how they got their start in the universe. And then, you know, the ensemble, like the first Avengers and stuff like that. Like, you know, there's some of these that just kind of like stand out as like, you know, these are really good movies.
Mm-hmm.
But just from a personal perspective, I think I get a big kick out of like Guardians and Ragnarok.
Yeah, and don't get me wrong, I love Ragnarok very much. But it was just about Guardians of the Galaxy that really brought me in. And I loved it, mm-hmm. you know, because... It was different. It was space. The characters were very likable, and yeah. So I'm gonna say with Guardians. I'd probably say Guardians 2 a little more than 1.
That's okay.
Just me. But yeah, those two are definitely two of my favorites mm-hmm. In the MCU for sure.
All right.
So that's all I had on this one, Taylor. How long have we been talking about this?
About 45 minutes.
Okay. Yeah, it's time to wrap this one up. Yeah. So guys, thank you so much for watching. We're back. I hope you enjoyed this kind of review, kind of overview, if you will, of the entire MCU for this phase. And we'll be back soon with some more wonderful content for you.
Yes.
Bye.
See ya.